acknowledge whether he's going to show up or not.
I saw him the other day, and he was planning on being.
And Vivian?
Vivian, she checked and confirmed the time at our last time meeting. So she was aware, and I actually called the office and confirmed and emailed that back to her. So she should be aware.
Why don't we, I'm going
to... And James? Is James with us?
No, not today.
Crack this door so we can hear somebody at the dock.
And I have Steve in voicemail, but I didn't have the subject.
Oh, good.
So we'll start without him. We'll go ahead and get the meeting started. It's been a while. Thank everybody for coming. We try and get this thing finalized and down to a semblance of respectability and enforcement. We have a new Planning Commission member, Don Moore, and we've got some gentlemen on the phone. I'll just let you know they're from the Northwest Wireless Association, so they have some valuable input that answers questions and steers us in the right direction sometimes.
This is what they just sent today.
So, on the agenda today, review draft number 4. I think everybody got a copy. Jim, you guys got the copy, right?
This would be Paul.
This is Paul today.
This is Paul.
Paul today.
The new dad today, so he's off her baby and mother. So.
Congratulations. Give him our best.
Yeah. I will. Thanks.
And Ron, Paul did forward down. I gave everybody a copy of this. It says Northwest Wireless comments at the top.
I didn't get that.
It's in your packet there. And he had his little comments off to the side and sidebar.
Hey,
Chief.
Hey, uh-oh, you brought the boss today. You're in trouble.
Yeah. And there should be a packet right there for Steve.
Oh. Not for him.
There you go. Okay.
Okay. You want to take off with it, Dave, or we want to take a couple of minutes and read through what I haven't seen this Northwest stuff yet. But
I haven't seen the Northwest stuff at all.
Why don't we do that so we've got their comments here since they're written. And I'm sorry, Paul, your last name?
Yes, my last name is Flotemaker.
Okay.
Spell that for you. It's S as in Sam, L-O-T-E-M-A-K-E-R.
Okay. And are other members of the public, Steve Williams, right? And?
Barbara Porter.
Yeah, the same boss.
Yeah.
And he's my boss, in a way. He's the chairperson of the CSC.
You guys must be getting in trouble or something.
What makes you say that?
Paul, in going through these comments that you had...
Those are Siobhan's.
Those are mine. The CSC has also prepared comments.
I grabbed the wrong one. There you go.
Yeah, this is Paul. I just kind of skimmed through the code and added these comments, and that these are just that some of them are a little more flat out than others, maybe.
Okay. Do we want to go through them line by line as a group then?
Anything you want to highlight for us, Paul?
Probably.
Given the number of comments we have, both from you and from CSC, I think we'd be better off all off of this just to go hit the high points, and the other ones we'll just kind of.
Yeah, there are definitely more important comments in here than others.
Yeah, prioritize for us, and that'll help us get through them.
Yeah, I'm just kind of flipping through my own here to see what I put down here. Probably the first thing would be that regarding the setbacks. I'm not sure what code referenced that section, but the setback limitation.
Ancillary to what I was going to present verbally, so that's not really the whole comment.
Under General Development Standards 99050.
I believe.
General Development Standards G.
50G.
Setback limitation.
Yeah. And I was hoping to clarify that this is for setbacks for new towers as opposed to any wireless facility. Generally. Co-locations and attaching antennas to existing structures they need to comply with the base zone setback standards of whatever zone you're in, because if you're attaching to an existing tower, there's no telling where that tower is on that property. You know, you can't bound by where that existing structure is on the property. You don't want to eliminate co-location opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I think
should
we comment on the same thing, or not, if we want to, how do we want to?
Well, yeah, no, we'll stay on the same subject if we can and get it out of the way.
It definitely makes sense to us that that wouldn't apply to co-locations, but we feel that if there's an existing structure that doesn't have any antennas on it, then if you're choosing that to put antennas, that's like a brand new structure, and then the setbacks do apply to that, whether you can choose that structure to put antennas on it.
So you're assuming there could be something that would be adequate for that in a residential zone?
Perhaps a church steeple.
Or a water tank. I mean, there's a lot of tall structures out there.
You're right. Yeah, exactly.
There could be something like it, but it's still, what we're saying is the co-location doesn't, the setbacks don't apply, but to something that has no current antennas, it's just like a new support structure.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have the same impacts of a new support structure. I think that's what the setbacks are meant to mitigate.
But putting the antennas on it is a different story.
Yeah, well, that was just my comment there. Mm-hmm. I'm not making the rules here, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have an additional comment regarding setbacks, so it may put a little bit different perspective as far as size and space. As stated here in number two, we have this 1,500 foot setback from a property boundary. I wanted to convert that into a more meaningful quantity, in this case acres. And if I have my facts straight, let me hand you one of these. Pass a couple of these around here. So, see if you can help me interpret this here a little bit.
I'd like to step back for a minute.
Okay.
May I? Sure, please. I actually even have a statement that I wanted to read before we even start into this draft, and that is actually addressing some of the statement, which is that this committee has been working, as all of us who've been on the committee knows, for months and months and months. We have had long discussions about different issues. The setback issues was probably the one that we had the longest discussion about. We took 3 full meetings.
Right.
We did a lot of compromising. We finally came to some conclusions. I think at this point to reopen the discussion and renegotiate and change the compromises and the decisions that we came to.
Well, I'm not asking for changes. I'm just addressing the subject that we're on at the moment, setbacks.
Right, but what you're doing is you're questioning what took us 3 meetings and a lot of compromises and negotiations.
I'm not questioning it. I'm trying to see if I clear in my mind and bringing this to everybody else's mind the conversion from feet to acres. That's all I'm doing, which is a factual concept. So if I'm dealing with facts, then here we go.
Well, do you want me to do this? Because I was actually the one who did the math. No. I don't know.
No, you got to stay on this for a little bit, Barbara.
So what I'm wanting to step back and look at, you know, is in the overall looking at draft 4. I mean, this committee has been working for months and months and months. We went through everything of draft 3. We went through issue after issue. We went through in someone's word after word. We finally edited and came to an agreement on the whole document. So in some ways, my real concern is we're starting, I understand how it happened, but we're kind of starting all over again. Not completely, you know, a third of what's in this document at least is straight from the other document. So we're not, you know, necessarily starting with that. Although, what we're doing right now is questioning something. So my concern is we're going to take some of the hottest topics, and we just brought up the hottest topic of our whole 4 or how months together, it took 3 meetings to do a lot of negotiations and communication and compromises to come up with our setback. And those setback regulations, the committee agreed to word for word. That was when we were still doing the words for word, you know. The idea, you know, that we might reopen a subject that we spent 3 meetings on and finally compromised on and start all over again, because maybe the people who weren't happy with that part of the conclusion, maybe we weren't happy with a different part of the conclusion, but we compromised, we negotiated. The fact that we might open up, reopen those discussions feels like an inappropriate way to go.
What is your concern regarding such things? Why is it a problem for you?
Because just like...
Fine.
Because we came to the conclusion, we worked it, we made lots of compromises. The 1,500 feet limit was accepted because those of us who wanted the 1,500 foot limit gave away other things.
And I'm only asking it to be evaluated or recognized in a conversion of math, which is acres. That's all I'm asking, for a few moments for us to try to comprehend what the setback is in acreage, not in
feet. And you're not questioning it? You're not, what the purpose
not at this
of that
point.
Is to...
Not at this, to have everybody realize in a more visual aspect acres as opposed to feet. Because 40-acre lot, 80-acre lot, 5-acre lot, people relate to that. This is how the county actually would have them set up as 40-acre lots, 80. Okay, 1,500 feet as a radius is hard to comprehend. I'm trying to bring a greater level of comprehension to what we had already agreed on for the sake of clarity.
But not to change what we already had agreed on.
I'm not necessarily questioning that at this point.
He's trying to make clarification so he understands it and shows it in the system.
And I want everyone here to understand that as well, because it's kind of interesting how it plays out. So, in proceeding, if I have this correct, if you take 1,500 feet out in a radius, that will give you a circle. If you, in acreage, convert that unit of measure, it comes into being... Oh, I don't have...
7 1/4?
It's like 108 acres. And again, these are just simple facts. I'm not disputing any at the moment. I'm just trying to do a conversion here. 112.63 acres would be the area excluded from a 1,500-foot radius. Again, it's a radius. Now, if you take that in all directions and look at that as acreage, unless I'm doing something way wrong here, it comes out to 112 acres of area of land that would be precluded from siting a tower on. So, take again, we can question the math of the process, pi, radius, squared, etc. But if this plays out correct, then I would have to question, if 100 acres is excluded, are there very many plots left over that are greater than 100 acres where cell sites could be located?
I think one of the questions that you're bringing up, Steve, are probably questions that the Planning Commission is going to face at a hearing, mm-hmm. which is, if every cell tower location if we apply this setback and we apply it to residences, because it's really, it's the circle that you're drawing is around the residence too, how much land is left over to site cell towers? The flip side being, if you put the 1,500 feet around the cell tower, what is it impact and how does it make it move? Maybe does it move into another position where, what does this map look like, the map with the cell towers on it, when you put that around it? Because that's what the citizens are going to ask the Planning Commission. On the ground, what is this going to look like? Maybe I'm going beyond what you're saying.
Not necessarily.
The question you're trying to answer is, if we implement it, what does it look like?
Right, and what does it look like is critical, because if you look at it, say it has to be 1,500 feet from a given direction, that sounds like not very far. And indeed it's not. If you look at it as a perimeter, and being 100-something acres that you cannot site it on, what does that leave over as available lots that it could be sited on? I'm assuming there's a lot of 40s, there's a lot of 80s. There's probably not a lot of 160s left over anymore. Is that not a possible fact? And you have somewhat of a clue for lot sizes out and about. I don't necessarily. But I'm assuming there's not a lot of 160s out anywhere anymore in this county. If they're 80s, none of them will work.
Yeah, may I interject?
That's not true.
Well, let's find out.
Go ahead. May I interject just for a second? It's been my experience that we have a lot of 40-acre parcels.
there's not a lot of 160 in it. And the reason I say that is, my wife being a real estate agent, I was looking for large acreage. There's not very much of it around.
Oh, there isn't.
Yeah, when you look at this, I understood what you were doing here. Yeah, it's really quite large when you figure it all out. And in the planner, we need to look at how big a parcel we're impacting.
Correct.
Around
a similar exercise planning staff did, and James is not here today, but he did the maps, and I haven't found it yet. But he took a couple of representative areas. I think he took the school in Williams and put a 1,500 foot setback from that.
Well,
what does it look like? Mm-hmm. A couple of other schools and other some of the facilities that you had the 1,500 foot setback from, just as representative, again, to give a visual. What does that look like on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really take out that potential site? Or since most of the schools, they're not on the hillsides, maybe it doesn't impact it at all. So I think it's giving you a better sense of what kind of ground are we looking at.
Yeah, and later, for instance, us, we live on 80 acres. It's a huge area. The site couldn't go there. We're not on 102 acres. And if you're saying there's a bunch of 40s and hardly anything big left, that could preclude a cell site from going anywhere. Almost anywhere.
Except on state and federal land.
Remember, the commercial areas, the industrial areas, they don't have this stuff.
But we saw a map of the, in yellow, of the industrial zones, and they were extremely limited. Mm-hmm. They're hardly anything in the county industrial.
That's correct. And you haven't seen it near Paul, but we have a map up on our wall.
This is the exercise.
Of the county with stars on there that designate our cell tower locations in existence at the moment.
Maybe you could explain.
No, I meant to, and I walked off the other day.
Maybe you could explain. It's not self-evident. What? But the ones with the circles, these are the areas, for example, that would be. Just to add another point, which is kind of sideways or whatever, but we are not the only people proposing a 1,500 setback. Cabot, Vermont, I have here as an example, has a 1,500 foot setback.
Irrelevant.
Well, they thought this through too.
Irrelevant. We're here now addressing the fact that if we propose this, it could preclude a cell tower from going damn near anywhere in the county.
I don't think that's accurate.
Most of your 40s, it takes 112.
Come back to this one and let's move forward.
It's residence, it's not property, first of all. So if you have if you have a property and the residence is not in the exact center, you're talking about residences being in the exact center.
No, if you put one to the side, now you're still taking out that radius, and you're still looking at a 100-acre chunk over here. And there's liable to be a house over that direction, because there are only 40-acre lots, mostly. And we'll drop this in a minute and come back, but remember, the intent of this was to coordinate a comfortable co-mingling of cell tower and land and sense of purpose. Well, if we do this, we've precluded them from going almost anywhere in the county. And that was not the intent. I've derived this from math only. And it doesn't work.
Well, let's table this for a minute and let everybody think about it.
Absolutely.
We'll come back to it, because I want to do make some progress today for sure.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to go backwards, but when I converted 1,500 feet radius to acres, when it's 100 acres and they don't exist, I went, whoa, we got a serious problem. And I didn't realize it. I thought 1,500 feet was from my shop radius tax. Well, do it a little bit different, and it's like the whole county.
Hey, Ron, can I interject something?
What?
Well, first of all, only 25% of the county is privately held. The other 75% is government land, which is huge expanses of acreage.
And unacceptable for tower siting.
Oh, baloney.
Tell me why it's good.
Well, BLM doesn't mind them at all.
That doesn't mean they're good. See, those went in first.
Of
government lands where they went first. Now they're trying to fill in a little bit more around the populaces, and that's what we're addressing.
I'll give you an example. The AT&T Tower in Williams, they chose three sites, right?
I'm sorry, but can I request that you guys use
a little bit of... Probably my fault.
There's only a couple of them, but my office is right.
Sure.
I appreciate
it.
Maybe
you can close that door.
I think you
shut the
door.
I'm on the other side wall.
And the rest of your reminders go like this. I can't forget, as you know, rather. outspoken and animated and loud.
Well, okay, the AT&T Tower and Wings, they have three different sites. One of them was on government land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It wasn't their preferred site, but it was in their sites. I mean, they had their eye on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So they didn't have a problem with that. Didn't have a problem with putting it on government land.
Right, initially. But now if they need to fill in other areas, it won't be on that land again. It will be in a new zone, closer to populace, and that won't be government land.
Well,
you can't provide coverage to populated areas from the BLM land.
Exactly.
It's too remote. Maybe on the periphery of the developed areas, you can set a site on government property. And even on the government property, there's quite a process. They don't like new towers coming in. There's a very restrictive process in going on government BLM land as well. And if it does work, it only works on the edges of the developed, you know, populated areas. Once you get in the
The care is they need the signals near the people, not the edges of the forest.
Okay.
The people aren't.
Well, we've got something to chew on. I don't want to dwell on this any longer. Let's move on and continue on the process, and we'll come back to this. That way everybody can think and...
Right. What I've circulated around is James Maps that he... grab some schools and other sites where the 1,500 feet would apply,
mm-hmm.
and then just mapped it out in Puma,
mm-hmm.
Which I want people to be aware of that resource, that if we do want to explore a little further about how our ordinance is going to look on the ground, that's a resource we've got. We've got GIS to do a map like this one, and we've got our Puma system where we can look at specific sites or specific areas with resources like churches, schools, whatever the set, hospitals was one that I noted, where we're going to make setbacks from them. We can map those and see what the impact is really going to be, if there is one.
Wow. That would be good to see a visual, you know, because I don't think I've thought of that before. But
hey,
yeah, put a buffer around each of those uses there and see what area you end up with. My curiosity is, what is the motivation for the large setback from several of these uses? I can understand large setbacks from residences. Folks don't want EVs, towers generally from their homes, but a lot of these are most of them are not residences. You've got hospitals and daycares and stuff like that. And I'm wondering what the motivation for the large setback from all those other uses that are called out is. Because it starts to look like it's a radio frequency concern, perhaps, that's motivating the setback, and that can't be a part of the code, and, you know, as far as a reason for the setback.
Given that I know that setback has been challenged for another community, and that the community won the 1,500 foot setback, I don't know that we have to say why we even chose that setback. I don't know that we're obligated to even say that.
Well, we're
probably
not.
Reasons for the
obligated
regulation.
Continue to live with it. You wouldn't know that.
Considering
better than anybody.
What we staff did, just a quick perusal of other counties and other communities and what their setback is, and they range, a wide range. And I know Shavana sent me an ordinance that had the 1,500 feet in it. We've got, I'll do it in descending order here, we've got Lane County, from a dwelling, from a school, 1,200 feet in the public zones, the base zone setback, and then commercial industrial is the base zone setback. City of Grants Pass is height of tower. And all of the above. Dwellings, school, public, commercial, industrial zones. Jackson County is 200 feet or height, whichever is greater, I believe. From a dwelling, in schools, it's the base zone, public uses, base zone, commercial, industrial is 50 feet. Clackamas, the Northwest Wireless Association's recommendation, and Marion County. Let's just look at Clackamas and Marion County. That was essentially the height of tower in all of those. I know jurisdictions where height plus 50 feet is pretty common. But I
basically it's the whole gamut. It's anywhere from base zone all the way up to 1,500 feet, and I think all of those heights have been substantiated.
Okay. Well, so, like I said, I'd still like to see a visual on the 1,500. Let's bring it out. Let's submit it and yeah. let everybody see it in a visual right. format as to how it's going to affect and whether if. You know, because there's something we hadn't thought of before, and that's the whole reason we do this, is visually, does it preclude the capability of installing a tower?
Right.
So I think that's an important question at this point.
And what kind of other impacts does the high right. tower have? I mean, if you've got scenic views on the coast, Cannon Beach, you might really want to be restricted.
Right. So
it's part of your economy.
Hey, Paul, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
In your notes, it says build code changed. What are you meaning or referring to?
That's not my code. That's just ignore it.
Okay.
When I did the track changes thing, it must have tracked. Maybe I eliminated some area there or something like that. I don't know.
I'm trying to go through your stuff and. And
my stuff, just the pink stuff, that field code changes.
We don't have it in pink. We got it in black and white.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. The field code changed. Just ignore it. That's a short answer. I didn't.
All right. That's all I needed to know?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go through them. Boy, there's no real easy way to do this. Anyway, we do it.
We're any other questions?
We went progressively through the whole
that's what I was gonna
thing,
do.
And then
we're
can
have
both give comments if they're around the same thing or if it's around the
that's
next thing.
What I was just going to do. We're going to have comments that Shabana's got some notes and I have some notes and anyone else has done it. Charlie's got a couple that he's submitted and I've got a copy of that here somewhere. I don't know what I did with it. It's in my card or in my possession. Just to answer the questions on the Charlie had a couple on the fire. So I'm going to use the basis of Paul's Northwest as our reference for running and run down his notes. And if you have a comment,
but mine may be before he even gets to his first comment, so why don't we run down
section by section?
The draft.
Okay, yeah, all right,
that's not what you're saying, just section by section.
You want to start at the draft, 1099.010,
purpose statement. I gave you in blue, this is Dave, I gave you a blue. A purpose statement from another ordinance that I've written, which kind of just lays out point by point rather than one paragraph. I think it says essentially the same thing. The reason I do that, I can explain from a planner's viewpoint. Oftentimes when you're making a decision, especially about something that might be a code change or a bigger project that somebody came in with, I like to be able to go to a purpose statement and say it is compliant or is consistent with these particular statements of purpose rather than a whole paragraph. I like to do that because it really focuses the argument or the reasons why you're doing something. If you can't answer the because statement, you're in trouble as a planner. And so I like that format. If the committee likes it, we'll go with it. If not, the paragraph that you originally had, which I took from the notes that Shabana gave me, is below.
I think it's great. Fine.
Either way. Consensus?
I think the bullet point 1-5 is 1-6.
Yeah.
It's clean, it's crisp, it's distinctive.
Okay.
One thing even before that
that's
I just want to figure out is wireless communications ordinance. So in respect of Chaz and Steve at our very first meeting, we wanted to distinguish that we were just talking about cellular PCS.
Right.
And if you go to the definition, it is there. I'm just wanting to make sure that we're all okay. If you go to the definitions, it does say wireless, and then you put it on the find the definitions page. Just wanting to be clear how we want to do this. Wireless, and then it grants the cellular PCS communications facilities, and then the last sentence there says, a wireless communication facility is synonymous with a cellular PCS facility.
Where are you at? Roughly what page?
I'm talking about that Dave wasn't privy to when we went through the whole draft and changed all of the wording to read, specifically read cellular PCS. wireless cellular PCS communications audience. Remember we went through and we put that in everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So because Dave wasn't privy to that, it's not in everywhere.
Finding it a little bulky to...
It's sort of there anyway due to the last sentence of definition M, but it's kind of a backwards, apply it backwards and everywhere. It's okay. I'm just wondering if we're all okay with that. The last sentence says a wireless communication facility is synonymous with a cellular PCS facility in the purpose of for us.
If you see it in sub I and the definitions, facility.
Right, but the fact that cellular PCS is in parentheses.
No, my intention was to pull it all together.
Okay.
So, we're talking about facilities, this is what we're talking about.
But when I'm just, you know, I don't care about this. This is just something the committee was talking about. Remember that we wanted it to say in the title of the ordinance at every single place we said cellular PCS. So are we okay that it just says wireless communications everywhere, but in the definition it says that that's synonymous with...
She has a valid point there, because that was one of the things that Brian and I think
Taz.
So, as a general direction,
because of the generic, we wanted to make sure that we weren't trying to apply this ordinance where it didn't belong,
right,
say in two-way or something else.
Okay.
Whereas the wireless communication could mean two-way or CB or anything.
Initially it did.
But then the exemptions were specifically exempting that stuff.
There is a list.
I'm not sure you exempted what they were concerned about, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that's... It is sort of dealt with in here, but I'm just bringing it up.
Okay.
Because that was some people in the community...
It's not clear to her from where we had our previous discussion.
Proposed solution?
Wireless communication ordinance was changed to cellular PCS ordinance initially.
And those would show up throughout the whole. We'd have to change it every single place.
Okay. So every time the word wireless communications facility shows up.
Just wireless communications, because it ends in a lot of different things. It would be wireless cellular / PCS communications.
Okay. Part of the reason that you typically do it in the definitions and say things like it's synonymous with this is to shorten a term and use one term that will be just kind of roll off your tongue.
Then maybe it's fine because it is in the definition.
That's why it was brought up, is just because if you're looking at this and going through the ordinance and you're not an expert on it, you're going to see wireless. Oh, that applies to me, but it might not. And that was where it came from.
Definitions do change too.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else on 99?
Number 6 co-location is, it's so tricky. I always put two L's, but it seems like it's one L. It's not consistent in the ordinance. It seems like the standard is one L in co-location.
I think I used one L elsewhere.
You did. So number 6 co-location is
just a typo. We can move past typos. 99.020.
Actually, you have another thing. I just want to check in draft 3, and I am not attached to this, and it probably is not necessary, but there was a 99. There was a 99.15 that said review required. No cellular PCS facility support structure may be constructed, altered to include co-locations, or replaced within Josephine County without complying with the requirements of this article. Is that like self-evident? Is that like necessary? I don't know. It was in the other draft.
It's in the applicability section of 020 now.
It says everything.
That's essentially what it is. Yes. Requirements of the ordinance apply to all new wireless communication facilities. And if you want to add to, I think that's an excellent place to put in the, you know, cellular PCS.
Okay.
Thanks.
Notation.
Yes. Anything else on 99020?
On 99020, yes.
Okay.
We were on 010. Oh. Now we're on 020.
I thought we were done with 010.
Now we are.
020. I've got a comment from the 020. I've read this over a few times, and it tries to exclude things that truly are not applicable. But for the sake of being real specific in representing, well, the things that I do, two-way radio, I know it talks about, what's the term? Two-way broadband, which is actually would be interpreted as wireless internet services. And it's not really a two-way radio kind of a thing. it does somewhere speak in here of, I forget the term and I'm looking for it, essential, I believe was the term, which is kind of vague. I guess my point here being that in the two-way radio industry that I represent, which are basically business users of radio systems, security companies and delivery trucks and everything out of the public safety, there is a category by the FCC called Part 90, which is all-encompassing of this two-way radio type of thing. And I think it would be...
Can you refer to it directly?
Well, yes, I think that would be appropriate.
FCC Part 90?
Yes. It does represent the entire two-way radio industry, which certainly is a user of far less structural. It could be a very small thing, but nonetheless, it's the next heaviest used thing in the radio industry other than cellular. Two-way radio, mobile phone, paging, etc. Part 90 encompasses all of that.
So okay. Number three can be expanded to include that, Steve? Or
sure.
Number three should have...
Okay.
So how would you word it then, real quick? Two-way antenna, two-way radio antenna smaller than 1 meter. Does the dimension work okay?
Well, yeah, and that's pretty much fine for the broadband wireless internet part. So then to continue on with wording, also included in the exemption would be Part 90 radio services as directed by the FCC. And if we need to sometime show you what Part 90 is, I meant to bring the rule book, but I didn't. But basically it's just two-way radio. Again, being like mobile telephone or cellular or dispatch type things, which are...
But it's an established FCC regulation.
Absolutely. So, yeah,
if we refer to it, then we're good to go.
Okay, go everywhere. I don't need to bring up each time. You don't have the cellular.
I might do it in the same section.
I think so.
If it needs to be separate, we can do it separate.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
That's where you catch it at.
Part 90 land mobile would probably be a better entire phrase. Part 90 land mobile radio. Part 90 land mobile radio services.
Okay.
B,
now the process type, you were talking about A, right?
Yeah. Anything, okay, else on, B. Anything else under A from anyone,
yeah,
else?
Anyone else?
Before we get on to B?
No, well, let's go to B. Process type.
First of all, could you just define for me ministerial and quasi-judicial?
Ministerial is a permit that we issue where there's no public notice. It's a very limited site plan review. There's no public hearing. We make the application comes into the counter. We look at standards. We apply those standards, and we make a decision.
Okay.
Quasi-judicial is, and Justine County is unique. It's one of the few communities I've ever seen where a planning director can actually make a quasi-judicial decision. I can refer that decision to a higher level of review, or my code sometimes dictates that it goes to a public hearing for a quasi-judicial decision. One that I made just the other day, in fact, is a permit for gravel mining by ODOT, and they want to work at night, and they want to work all night, and we got 15 letters from the public, and we got some kinds of impacts that we don't usually see on this kind of operation. So if it rises up to the level beyond where if I were a citizen, and a certain amount of it is sort of my own sniff test, but I do have some guidance in the code. Elevated level of public review, unusual impacts, things that may not be mitigated that people are going to have to deal with. I can send that to a higher level of review. So in this case, I'm sending it to the Planning Commission.
Is that off of, may I ask, is that off of Highland, by the sports park?
Here comes, Don. I'm not going to talk about specifics.
Okay. Because that one joins Jason Zara property.
We already got a letter.
I'm not going to talk about specifics. But anyway, so that's the difference between ministerial and quasi-judicial. Generally speaking, in most jurisdictions, quasi-judicial goes to a public hearing, you have public comment, and that's the way you do it. Ministerial permits are staff only.
Okay, so we have some consonants. One, just a note, co-location is spelled incorrectly again here.
Okay.
Yeah, but they can spell check that. So.
Yeah, so just throughout, then I'll stop saying it, just as you would spell check co-location, so it's consistent. We feel that, as kind of we mentioned somehow at the beginning, that the building-mounted antenna, if it's not a co-location, if it's a co-location, if there's already antennas on the building, then it's a co-location. But the building-mounted antenna is like a new site, and that
right.
should be under quasi-judicial. It's just right under ministerial applications for co-location.
Okay.
That building-mounted antenna should be considered a new location. And then the other thing that... The other thing that would be in the quasi is applications for new or more than minor modifications of. We've divided co-location and minor modifications go through really fast. And minor modifications is defined in the definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And then new and, we never said major modifications, so non-minor modifications.
I would more if you're doing the modifications more than a minor modification, I kind of put it in the ministerial category. But you're modifying an existing facility, it's not a new facility. And so it'd be more similar to like a co-location.
The minor modifications are, that's called repair, improvement, or modification.
Yeah, so it don't require any review except for they call it like a standards review, or I can't remember what they call it. Generally, minor modifications require a building permit in most jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage that a building mounted would be a ministerial review and remain
mm-hmm.
as a ministerial review. The impacts of a building mounted or structure mounted antennas are much less than a tower, which would require, I can understand a tower being a quasi-jurisdictional. I mean, there are several ways you can incorporate antennas and facilities into existing structures to mitigate visual impacts. There's a whole lot more opportunity to reduce visual impacts, and I think the county would be wise to encourage attaching antennas to existing structures to minimize the need for new towers.
Well,
in order to encourage it, I would put it in the ministerial category. Wireless carriers are very keen on reducing the level of land use reviews that they have to go through, so they'll choose to go through a lower level review if they can.
Not to mention, Paul, with building, mounting it on a building is a whole lot cheaper than putting up a tower, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, that too, yeah.
But that
I think it's a win-win that way. It's
except for the public.
It's not always cheaper, depending on the building and if there's structural improvements that need to be made in the building, but generally, yeah, I think you're right.
But in terms of what motivates the wireless industry to do building mounts as opposed to cell towers, lower level of review, generally in most jurisdictions, and lower cost, is that?
Yeah, actually, the cost, I don't know that the cost is all that less, because, well, the new tower, definitely, yeah.
But the thing is that a building-mounted antenna on a building where there hasn't been an antenna, I don't think it's appropriate to bypass any public notice and public hearing. So this minor modification versus, it looks like since a minor modification does not increase the height or the visibility or intrude further into a setback area, then a major modification might increase the height or the visibility or intrude into a setback area. And somewhere, at least...
And therefore go to quasi.
Okay.
So, are we saying minor ministerial?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, as opposed to exempt?
And my question about... I guess it all boils down to what is a major modification. Maybe it needs to be defined in the code, perhaps. But, for example, I knew several where wireless carriers need to modify their site, and oftentimes that means installing some additional antennas... their existing antenna array on a tower or building or something like that. So you might have 9 antennas up there right now and they want to install a total of 3 more to make it 12. And would that be a minor or a major modification?
If it does not increase the height or visibility or intrude further into a setback area, then it's a minor.
Yeah, okay.
Paul, I think what you just described in my mind is a co-location, not a minor modification. A minor modification...
That's how some jurisdictions consider it. Well, they could call it a co-location, although some jurisdictions they call co-location is more than one area. on a tower, for example, and we're not initially adding another carrier, we're just modifying. I know you have a definition of co-location in your code, and I've kind of made a comment
speak
to this.
Well, I think we've got a hole then, frankly, between co-location, which is different carriers, and minor modification, which is repairs and improvements. When I wrote this, and you'll see in the language, minor modification doesn't include more antennas. That isn't what it says.
No, it doesn't.
To me, more antennas is co-location, because it's always assumed, typically assumed, that that's another carrier mounting on a pole. If you're saying additional antennas, I think that's a gap, frankly, between
the same
definition of co-location and the definition of minor modification.
I think that's a gap that most...
I don't want to write a permit every time you got to fix your cell phone
And that's a gap that most codes have, because most codes didn't anticipate the need to modify these sites. And I'm doing a lot of these projects, and then you're right, you kind of fall into a hole, and they're not really sure how to categorize it oftentimes. Are you a co-location, or is this a modification, or is this maintenance repair?
It sounds like it's a major modification in our thing, because it's not it doesn't fit into a minor modification, and it isn't what we're thinking of as a co-location, so it's more considered.
Or we expand the definition of co-location, which is a ministerial permit, it's still standards, but... I don't want to write
because there's a hole. It should be addressed.
If you expand the co-location definition, I think you'll cover that
to include. And you can, and this committee can pick a threshold and say
how many.
Exactly. A number. If you're adding X number of whatever X might be, number of new antennas. You just went beyond co-location, and now you're a major modification. Yeah. And
you can just do consecutive. I mean, then it's like if we really want to do four, but above two puts us into this other category, we'll do two, and then we'll do two.
Let me throw this question at Betty, because I'm going to have to understand the clarification between a co-location and a modification, because if you're just adding antennas, but you're the same carrier and the same tower and the same everybody else, I'm not going to see that as a co-location.
And I was going to bring that up on C here, co-location. The industry exclusively sees co-location as a second carrier,
mm-hmm.
not as addition of more antennas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's kind of hard to, in a way, pick a threshold, because when new services come out, it might be that they need three antennas, that we say two. It's kind of irrelevant whether it's two or three in actuality, but to them it's everything because they couldn't do it. So it's kind of hard for us as non-technical to perhaps set a threshold. Maybe it's a percentage or something, twice as much as a problem, perhaps.
Yeah.
Would something cover it in standard maintenance practices? Because you're going to have to replace some of these antennas occasionally. And I don't want him to have to write a permit for that either.
Generally, the reason to replace is not necessarily due to wear and tear or aging, because it'll last a lifetime, but it would be to be fine-tuning their system. If another site goes in here, now they're going to change the antennas that were at this one to now not cover that, but now direct them over here. So it's basically fine-tuning the thing, and from the visual standpoint, they all look the same.
Right. Or better antenna technology that comes along.
It's fine-tuning, but it's not a significant impact whatsoever. You wouldn't tell the difference.
I guess what I'm trying to do is to focus on, from a permit standpoint, if the tower looks like this, and it's got antennas on it here, if I'm going to call that co-location because... this one's AT&T, and this one's Quest or something.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make a difference if that's AT&T as well?
Well, first of all, you need all these facilities.
From a permit standpoint, should it make a difference? I don't think it should.
No.
Frank.
If it's the same carrier.
So co-location isn't the word that captures that. I want to make sure that we're clear that simply that being the same carrier shouldn't make a difference.
Co-location, as far as I'm concerned, is different carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the industry exclusively sees.
Yeah,
but
we should leave that as that. That's a modification, so then we have to figure out what kind of modification and where does it fall.
Right, I just want the process for this to be the same as that.
Yeah, and for the sake of the explanation of your drawing on the right that shows two different carriers, in almost all, if not all cases, the since you drew it long ways, they're typically a triangle. It's called a sector array. Those are typically designed to accommodate additional antennas, which would typically exceed what most carriers would need. So if a carrier did add a few more antennas, it would be to the existing sector array. Rarely or never have I seen another whole sector array go on to hold more antennas, only if it was a colo, which implies another carrier.
That's so true. In the project that I'm working on, where we're adding antennas, we're adding them next to the existing antennas
exactly.
on the existing mounting hardware.
On the same mounting
hardware.
Yeah. Would it be possible?
That would be a minor
terminology, a sector array?
I mean, that would be a minor modification because it's not adding to the height, it's not
yeah,
going more into the setbacks than what was the survey. It's not.
So
it fits with the definition.
If you're not modifying the spectra array,
it doesn't
yet,
increase height or visibility, really, you know,
review.
Or intrude further into a setback area.
Okay. So.
Then with minor modifications elsewhere in the ordinance, we're not requiring permits.
Correct.
Those would be all
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I'm fine with a minor modification to include that. I was just wondering about the visibility part of that definition. You know, with some people are more sensitive if you're going to add some more antennas up there.
Right. You got two antennas, you add one more. I don't see it being that much of a...
Yeah.
Even I would have to argue hard to try to make that argument.
Yeah.
So I don't
the towers would just
okay.
And antennas like up here and everything, but if you've already got a thing and you know got two and then you add two more.
Don had something that he discussed with Steve while that was going, so I want to bring that to the group and go ahead and repeat that, Don.
Well, it seems that the triangle up there that the antennas are mounted to is called a sector array.
Sector
array.
The most
okay.
Sectors.
And that maybe that we had that in the terminology. If you're not modifying that, then it all operates under the same.
And that would be fair.
I think we can add that to the definition of minor modification. Repeat that in the definitions of the terms as well to include sector array. And a minor modification might say something like repair, improvement, or modification, blah blah blah, including additional antenna on a existing sector array.
Yeah, and actually, you can't really you'll have to use the word sector mounting hardware because an array refers to all the antennas in an array pattern. But what we're concerned about is the mounting hardware, the sector mount. Because again, they are about the most
just call it
visual consuming thing there is, both of the antennas.
I think we
can't really call it a race.
So now I've got just a terminology thing again throughout the thing. Very often through this thing, we say facilities and support structures. In quasi-judicial, we say facilities including support structures. But facilities is defined to include support structures. So I'm wondering if we're being redundant.
We can clean up some redundancies.
Yeah. So, and that's a particular thing I've seen
right.
over and over,
right.
and I understand why, but now that we've defined facilities, so it doesn't need the including support
good
structures.
Good time for me to admit that I was running out of time.
You can see you at the end. You were
progress. That's all we care about.
Okay.
Okay, everybody done with 020?
No, now I'm on to C. That was O2OB. Now I'm on to O2OC. BPA
oh.
transmission lines. What on earth? Anyway, whatever they are, when I don't understand what they are, but we decided to take municipal water towers does not fall in that category now.
Let me catch up with where you are here.
Right under C.
Yeah, transmission lines are
BPA bond real power administration.
It shall be considered wireless infrastructure.
So...
That would be...
I mean, I don't understand that. To me, anything for the purpose of co-location is something that already has cellular PCS antennas. That's the definition for me of co-location. Not a structure that already exists. It's something that already has PCS. So I don't see... I would get rid of C.
Steve says there's really none around here.
There is no BPA passing through the county,
okay.
I believe.
Copy the language from the other ordinance.
Okay. So we can get rid of
it. Threw it in there. I hope you guys can appreciate that for some of the things that I included here, there were some ideas I picked up from other ordinances, like splitting the purpose out in the five different lines. So these are options. If you don't like them, toss them.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Okay, now I'll finish with those.
Okay, 030 definitions.
Yes. Abandonment, change towers or support structure. That's another thing that you were not privy to. But we went through the whole thing since support structures is the broader term.
Which is pretty minuscule, and we dealt with that back in week two.
I'm playing catch up here. My brain goes elsewhere to think of other issues.
Right here.
Not the location, but change the wording here at this
okay.
point.
She wanted to change the tower to say support structure. We changed that back in the third or fourth meeting.
Okay. Okay.
And then...
Yeah, seven
water.
Right.
Okay, wait. Did you get that?
Just an encompass there. Okay.
Then I've got one on the team, but I mean,
please.
Please.
Okay.
A lot of you think are, you know, kind of minor at this point.
Yeah, well, we have a comment from, well, from, I'm going to say from Paul, and whether you are not Paul, I'm going to say it from you.
Okay.
He had the A, or no, that was on C on the co-location.
Okay, so I've got comments there,
too. Okay, Shivana's got comments. So I'll go ahead and read Paul's. Does co-location include antenna modifications that are more than minor? And I think we just covered most of that.
We just talked about that, yeah.
We just talked about that.
So I'm just trying to address your squares as they come up.
Yeah, that's fine.
That way I'm giving you your due.
The word often in that sentence is kind of a problem, perhaps, because we're kind of agreeing that it's not often. It's like never. A colo is multiple carriers.
Yes.
So we should just
not
strike.
Often, it's always.
We should just strike often.
And I think we should add multiple cellular / PCS antennas, because that's what we're...
Sure.
Well, multiple antennas or cellular.
No, multiple cellular PCS antennas or cellular PCS equipment. Those are two different things.
Well, the antennas are going to be cellular PCS because that's what this is identifying.
Yeah.
I just would like that in there.
Yeah, and that's not a problem, sure. Right. Because that is.
I think it's already in there.
Two little changes. What's all this? Two little changes to see. Two little changes to definition C that we all agreed upon. Hopefully you will.
Definition C, where it says cellular / PCS equipment often, we're going to strike often.
Good.
And then Shivana wants to make a change to the multiple antennas, and go ahead and read that, Shivana.
Multiple cellular / PCS antennas. I just want that clarified in there.
Okay.
I don't see any big issue with that. It's a small duplication, but no big deal.
Yeah.
We can accept it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, D, E, F, anyone got anything?
Okay, bingo.
Well, the word in commercial mobile radio service.
Which one are we in?
D.
D, thank you.
That does apply to something other than a cellular PCS carrier. They're not really considered commercial mobile radio service. By definition, there's several things that I do that are considered commercial mobile radio service. So I think it should say cellular PCS, because that's, again, what this was addressing.
Okay. So if you operate a cellular PCS service,
sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Commercial is something totally different.
Okay.
Well, here we go, commercial eraser.
It's radio services do that?
Well, it's kind of like and or video. I mean, it's not and video. Very little goes over video, even to this day. And commercial radio service basically is defined by the FCC is how you resell the service, if you're making it for profit or into your own internal communications that you use in part of your own business, not necessarily for profit.
Do you have an article we can refer to? Is this under Article 9?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Okay, so we'll get
so
a reference.
90 point something, I can find that.
On the end of it, we can just go per whatever it is.
90 point whatever number.
Article 90.
Yeah, yeah, I can't expound.
No, at the moment. You can reference this in that direction and we can find it by there.
The nice thing about doing that, whenever we can reference a federal guideline or something like that, when those guidelines change, we don't have to change.
Yes.
You know, that's why I never put a fee in an ordinance. I reference a fee schedule. The whole schedule can change at any time. You can go up and down. You can change it every year. You don't have to change your code every year.
Smart move.
I guess trying to chew on E just a hair more, since it is in the terminology, which I'll get you that part section, it would be for profit. So if you actually put at the end of it for profit, that would be more
appropriate.
Appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Okay. sounds good. I don't see anyone having an issue with that. Okay. Anything else? FGH?
No, because ancillary equipment covers a lot of different things like the air conditioning, et cetera. So I think that's pretty much encompassing there.
Most of these things, like I said, they're not in blue. I copied them out of what Shivana had given me in your last draft, which was after the April 20th meeting.
Yeah. Essential public communications. I have no problem with what it implies that it is. I've never heard the term used in my industry, the industry of my life, essential public, but it doesn't hurt. And then, in my opinion, it, you know, they're deemed as essential, so probably a good thing, I guess.
Well, that term is actually sprinkled throughout Oregon state statute.
Yeah.
Works for essential public.
Not a problem.
Not a problem.
Excluded. Excluded uses instructions.
Where are we on now?
H. Yeah, since I don't know anything about 99.020, I can't comment on it.
It's the very first section. I didn't see any issue with it.
No.
You're referring back to the section. In other words, let me give you an example if it helps. Satellite Earth stations are excluded from this ordinance. They're not excluded from the site plan ordinance of the RLDC. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to do a satellite earth station, you might have to come to me for a site plan approval for your land use. Because you're excluded from this particular ordinance and its regulations, that doesn't mean you're restricted from the rest of the code.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. And that's...
Traditionally, those were pretty huge.
Because this is a pretty narrowly focused ordinance, really, I want to make sure that we're not interpreting this as excluding you from elsewhere on the code.
Facility and feasible.
Well, it's a facility. Why don't we just get rid of the parentheses? Because it makes cellular PCS less.
Fine by me.
I see the one half parent quote.
Get rid of that, too.
I got my old man.
Okay, now again, you're referencing the Meyer versus Portland, so you got a reference of. Right. That's where feasible came from.
Okay, the RF engineer review.
There was no feasible before that, apparently.
I was just suggesting we find it. By a third-party expert, I would rather say having no relationship of any kind with the applicant, because there can be a lot of relationships other than they directly hire them.
Let's look at the wording first. Not hired by. Well, who else would hire him then? If the carrier's required to do it, he's the one who's going to hire him.
No. We're hired. The planning department.
Hey, Charlie, you have a question?
The fire code makes the same statement, and... this is pretty close to it, but what it says is by a third-party expert approved by the authority having jurisdiction. So it keeps me from bringing in my cousin Jimmy, who's a so-called expert. Whoever ends up being the judge.
Sure, get letters that I can refer to.
And I can actually get him that actual verbiage out of the fire code, because it just says technical assistance approved by the authority having jurisdiction.
Because
that's a very valid point.
Yeah.
And I have no relationship with the applicant.
But that's a lot more difficult, I think, because you've only got how many cellular carriers, so they're going to have dealings with these people.
That's true.
I'm uncomfortable with that because the degree to which I would have to investigate. If they used to work for AT&T 15 years ago, did they have a relationship?
Yeah.
Or did that exclude them?
Do we want to?
I think if they start to slam it in favor of, I mean, that could validate their license. I mean, it's an engineering thing. It's truly mathematics and calculations.
I would add
to this definition that they'd be licensed by the state of Oregon somehow. That adds a level of credibility to...
Exactly. They would risk their license if they went to bed with the carrier.
So what are we talking about substituting? I think it was what Charlie was saying.
We'll strike out not hired directly by the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
There would be some form of
approved by authority
as an engineer.
Well, it's the planning.
Approved by the authority having jurisdiction and licensed by the state of Oregon.
Okay.
I'm not sure there's a licensing requirement. What license?
I think you'll get a credible third-party reviewer with that.
Is there a licensing requirement, or is there a licensing board?
Well, there's a licensing requirement for, obviously, for engineering. Now,
yes.
Radio frequency engineering, there's not a specific license for radio frequency engineers. However, there are radio frequency engineers that have, like, a EE license. What does that mean? A practicing engineer or a professional engineer?
Professional engineer.
Yeah. So I mean, they are out there, and they've done, and like I think a main county.